This week's Parsha is Parsha Tazria Metzera. I will begin on page 608, where the beginning of the Parsha talks about how when a woman gives birth to a boy, she is impure for 7 days, as she would be when she menstruates. Then the Pasuk Gimel reads, "Vayoyma shmini yimo basar orlasai," and on day 8, he will get his bris milah, the flesh of his arla, will be circumcised. So this is the pasuk that we're going to focus on tonight. This pasuk that talks about bris milah. We hear the Torah says on day 8, the bris will be performed on the baby. So the Aruch Hayim asks a question as to why the Torah again has to repeat here that on day 8 is a bris milah. In Parashas Lech Lecha, Hashem gave Avraham the mitzvah bris milah. Give him all the details. Why here is it necessary to have to repeat the mitzvah bris milah? Now he says, if you want to say that there is something that we derive from this word, ubayoyim ashmin, on day 8, where it says on day 8 the bris will take place, maybe you'll say that there's something here that the Torah is adding, or that we have to derive in a detail that wasn't that we weren't able to derive before. And he says the Aruch Hayim, where do we know that bris milah takes place by day and not by night? Not from what it says in Parashas Lech Lecha. It's from here where it says ubayoyim hashmine, on day 8. It's from here that we derive a bris milah takes place only by day. How do we know bris milah overrides Shabbos? Not because of anything. There's no derivation from what it says by Avraham. It's again here ubayoyim hashmine, and on day 8. So there is a purpose of this pasuk, clearly. This pasuk is coming to add something that we would not have had in Parashat Lech Lecha. But still asked the Aruch Hayim, all right, so why did the Torah wait for here to do it? Why not do it there? Why did the Torah wait for here to do it? It should have done it there. By where the other details of the mitzvah mentioned, why not have some kind of, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, when he wrote the Torah, he could have used some words there that we could have derived it from there. Why did he wait for here in Parshas Tazria to bring out these points? So, the Aruch Hayim says in one answer, Avraham. Perhaps this detail was not mentioned by Avraham's mitzvah. Perhaps one might come to say, one might make a mistake to say, that the leniency of being able to have a bris milah on Shabbos only applied to Avraham, or to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. They had not yet received the Torah and the stringencies of Shabbos. But the Jewish people, after the Torah was given, they are told when you desecrate Shabbos, there's a potential for a death penalty for it. Lo yitcha Shabbos. You might think that Shabbos wouldn't be overridden. So one answer that the Aruch Hayim is saying is that a mistake could be made. It'd be possible for someone to think that if by Parashas Lech Lecha, when Hashem is giving Avraham the mitzvah, if it was there that Hashem was saying you could even do it on Shabbos, perhaps we might have thought that was only for Avraham, because he didn't have the mitzvah of Shabbos, he didn't accept the Torah yet. Even if he did keep the Torah, but he didn't have the obligation yet. And therefore, perhaps it was only there that Hashem was lenient to say, you can do a bris milah on Shabbos. But after the Torah was given, and Jewish people accepted the Torah with all the punishments for Shabbos, you might have thought that then it wouldn't have applied. And therefore, the Torah had to say it again at a later point. Oig nira. Another thing that he says, Kiminastam Pashadhu, Kimitzvas Mila Shanembra Parashas Lakl Khalavraham Avina Olavashalam, Hadavaram Hem Kinisanasam Piagvura La Avraham, Bloitesepas Devarim Bahemasha Achamat and Tira. We can say, and we should say, that whatever was given to Avraham, right, anything that Avraham gave was something that again was repeated at the giving of the Torah. And whatever details are in one are that we would know after the giving of the Torah, it was given before too. Okay. She ki mitzvah mila shenamar parashas Lech Lecha l'Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of mila given to Avraham, hadavarim heim kinesinas b'yagvura l'Avraham. These words are as they were given from Hashem to Avraham, but not any addition after the Torah was given. It's the same thing. Our mitzvah mila, we derive it from the mitzvah of the parashas Lech Lecha. We know that it had to have been repeated again after Matan Torah. And therefore, whatever is after is before. It's all the same thing. Meaning not like he says before, perhaps you differentiate. You're not going to make kind of differentiation. Nonetheless, it's going to come out, though, that there really was no place for Hashem to command Avraham to give a bris milah even on Shabbos. I mean, you're never going to say that all details that we have about bris milah were all given from Hashem to Avraham, and there's no difference before or after the giving of the Torah. Nonetheless, there is still an argument to say that there was no place, it wasn't, so to speak, it wasn't possible, there was no place for Hashem to tell Avraham to do a bris milah on Shabbos. Why? There was no necessity. He would have known on his own that he could do a bris milah on Shabbos. Why? Simple, says Ar HaChaim. The mitzvah of milah by Avraham was an obligation. He had to do the mitzvah of bris milah. Did he have to keep Shabbos? No, he did not have to keep Shabbos. Therefore, by Avraham, it was pashut. It was simple that his bris milah, anytime a mitzvah bris milah comes his way for a child, right, you're going to go ahead and do it on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is voluntary and milah is obligatory. And therefore, there's really no place for Hashem to tell Avraham. So again, it's going to apply. The same law is going to apply. It's not going to be different. The mitzvah is not going to be different. At the same time, though, there's no reason for Hashem to have to say it to Avraham. Because there's no reason. There's just no reason. Avraham has an obligation to bris milah. Shabbos is voluntary. Of course you're not going to say push off the obligation because of the voluntary Shabbos. And therefore, says the Arachayim, if the Torah in Parshas Lech Lecha would have said words, that those words would have been implying, like here, by Yom HaShmini, the eighth day, if those words would have been in Parshas Lech Lecha, and again implying that you do it even on Shabbos, everybody would have been saying, what do you need this pasuk for? You don't need it. There's no reason for it. Avraham has an obligation. Shabbos is voluntary. Of course, the obligation is going to overcome the voluntary. And therefore, says Ar HaChaim, it wasn't possible. Again, Bayim HaShmini is teaching us, for instance, that you do it on Shabbos. The question was, why couldn't have that been taught by Avraham? The answer is, it couldn't be taught by Avraham because there was no place to teach it by Avraham. By Avraham, there was no necessity to have to say it because of the fact that it wasn't an obligation to him. Shabbos wasn't an obligation. Milah was an obligation. Milah's for sure going to override Shabbos. Therefore, since there was no reason to say it then, therefore, it wasn't said, and it had to be said at a later time.
I was just going to say, wouldn't Avraham have known that he would have had to actually break Shabbos?
That's the point.
But I mean, like, it's not even that Shabbos is an obligation. He would know that there would be something, he'd have to do something to break Shabbos, so he wouldn't really actually be keeping Shabbos.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Wouldn't you think Avraham would not be able to...
Avraham would have understood that he has a mitzvah of bris milah, and even if he's keeping Shabbos, he has no obligation. When those two things come up against each other, it should be pashut
I understand.
To Avraham that he's got to do bris milah.
But wouldn't Avraham have known that Avraham wasn't Jewish? He wasn't given Torah. No, but I'm just saying.
But he was given a bris milah.
Well, they say like that the way that he broke Shabbos was by wearing tzitzis.
This is too much right now. Okay, in a very simple way, he had that even if he was doing Shabbos, at the same time, there was no reason to think that Shabbos would override what he had an obligation to do. Okay. Now, all right, so now we have an understanding as to why we have a necessity, why there is a reason to say this pasuk, right? That by Yom HaShmini on day 8, that he has a bris milah. We have a reason for saying this pasuk, because we need to learn some halachas that we wouldn't have learned from Parashas Lech Lecha. These laws couldn't have been said by Avraham, because again, by Avraham, the bris milah is an obligation, and it would have been obvious to have gone ahead and, let's say, override Shabbos for that. I don't see here exactly, you know, yeah, okay. Right, okay. Now, all right, but still we have a question as to why is it that this idea of day 8, why is it being mentioned here? Why is it being mentioned here? V'nirala says, Tam l'smichas v'yayim ha'shmini imasha l'fanav. We have to give a reason why the Torah is mentioning this pasuk of day 8 together with a woman giving birth. Why was it mentioned here? Shabalase's tam leikvas hamila yemashmini. Vaisivalamo beyaymai kamay shamatsina bemikdas kesef. And the answer is because the Torah is trying to allude to the reason why we do a bris milah on day 8. You know, if you buy a baby slave, right, you have to go ahead and give it a bris milah. You don't wait till day 8 for it. You do it on day 1. You don't wait for day 8. You don't have to wait for day 8 to do a bris milah on an eved, on a slave, on something that you purchase, on a slave that you purchase. So why is it that we have regularly this din, that bris milah can only be done on day 8? The Gemara itself addresses the reason why a bris milah is done on day 8. And that is because nowadays this is irrelevant. No, it's irrelevant in many ways, but theoretically, you know, a woman gives birth. As the Torah says, she gives birth, she's like a nida, which means she is like a woman who menstruated, which would theoretically mean that she would be tamei for 7 days, and if she were to stop bleeding from her birth, she would be able to, following the Torah laws of the Torah obligation, the Torah laws of a nida, if she stops bleeding by day 7, then she goes to the mikvah, and that night she's okay to her husband. So theoretically, that could happen to a woman who gives birth. A woman who gives birth, she could give birth, according to Torah law, if she would stop bleeding, which again, typically women don't stop bleeding so fast, but if she would stop bleeding, she could go to the mikveh after day 7 and be permissible to her husband. Which would mean that on the day of the bris, husband and wife could be together, they have no discomfort, they have no tension. And basically, according to the Gemara says, is that the reason why the bris milah is on day 8 is so that everybody else shouldn't be rejoicing and husband and wife aren't rejoicing. To make sure that husband and wife can also be at a level of full joy, therefore the Torah says, bris milah, let's push it off. Push it off to the point where it's possible that she could be tar and permissible to her husband. And that would be alluded to in the fact that the Torah mentions day 8 here by the woman giving birth. To say there's a connection between the two. And that connection is alluding to the idea that the Gemara Nida would be saying so that everybody else shouldn't be rejoicing and they should be atzeivim, they should be not as happy. Now, okay, so the Aruch Chaim has so far explained to us why we need this pasuk of day 8 here, even though we already had all the details of Rismi Balech Lecha. He told us why the laws that we derive from this pasuk here, why couldn't this pasuk have been said in Parashat Lech Lecha to derive those laws? And then he tells us why once we need this pasuk of day 8 and we can't have it by Avraham Avinu, why do we have it right here? Then the Aruch Chaim continues this discussion about why day 8. The Rabbi Seinu Zal Amru. And the Medrash says, Lama ha-tinek nima l'shmeina yamim? Why is a tinek circumcised on day 8? Shakana Hashem rachim ma'olav, because Hashem had mercy on him. Lahamtin lo yachiyak boi kaychai. To wait until the child is at its full strength, or strong enough. U'kashem shirachim avshal ha-kadosh baruch hu ala adam, so the same way Hashem has mercy on man, kach rachim av ala behema. So too on an animal. Shenemar, as it says, Mashmini v'hava yeratza. From day 8, it can be used as a carbon. There also, the Medrash is saying, that idea also by an animal being 8 days, for it can be used as a carbon, is also talking about the idea of it being at kaychai, being at its full strength. Okay, that's the wording. That's the Medrash. The Medrash says, waited for day 8, so that it'll have the strength to do the bris milah. Now, what's the idea here, basically? Like, what's the idea here? What is the idea of day 8? Day 8, now all of a sudden it's strong enough. Where does that come from? What's the idea behind that? Says the Aruch Chaim. V'nira. Ki koyach ha'amr b'divrayim. the strength being mentioned here in this medrash, Humasha Amar Bezayar Shukadei Shayavar Lav Shabbos. This is what this is, or this is actually, this means the same idea that the Zohar says, which is, why is Bris Milah day 8? So that the child should go through a Shabbos before the Bris. V'taki Eyu Nefesh HaChiyunis, and that he should now be able to attain Nefesh HaChiyunis, the, I don't know exactly how to translate, Nefesh HaChiyunis, the life soul. Now we do talk about that on Shabbos, there is Neshama Yesera. There's something extra to your Neshama. But the point is, it is V'takeu Nefesh HaChiyunis HaNeshpas Bo'elam Yem HaShabbos, Ki Yodua. We want the child to be able to attain this higher level of its soul, which is something, that higher level comes down every Shabbos as is known. Vazia ben Kayama. And then he will be a ben Kayama. Then he will be a child that can last. Vusha amru razal koyach hachayuni. That's what they mean, the power of life. The Timse sha'amru rabbi senu zal. And to support this idea, he quotes another medrash. Shekodem shebo Shabbos, before Shabbos arrived, hayu ha'olam roifei v'royed. The world was weak and trembling. Meaning, after the first 6 days, we had a world, but the Chazal say it was reifif. It was weak. It was shaky. Kevin Shabbos Shabbos, one Shabbos came, nizchazik v'nach. It became strengthened and came to rest. Adkan. V'masha amru k'nei shia b'kach. That's what it means. That's what the Chazal meant when they said that we want the child to go through day 8 so it will have the strength. So basically, we want the child to go through a Shabbos. And therefore, we have went to Shabbat go through Shabbos. Therefore, it's going to be. Therefore, it's day 8. Why want the child to go through Shabbos? So the Arachayim says, as the Medrash says, we want him, the baby, to have the strength by going through Shabbos. Shabbos will give the child a certain level of strength. Strength to be able to experience properly, to be able to experience as properly the Bris Milah. And it's something that we find that with Shabbos, the world was shaky. Before Shabbos, the world was shaky. When Shabbos came, the world became firm and became strong. And that is what we want to happen to the child. Now, clearly, this idea of the extra neshama, this nefesh chiyunis, this life soul that you get on Shabbos is clearly a spiritual concept, right? So that means something, not something physical, something spiritual. But again, the fact that it's something spiritual, an invigoration of your neshama, of your soul, can have enough, can, you know, so now, so let's put it this way, right? So it's some kind of invigoration of the soul, okay? And he says, similarly, we'll find a similar thing by the creation of the world. The world was shaky, now the world was strengthened. So, this effect for the child, as the Aruch Haim says, to be a ben kayama, means a child that can have, that can exist, its life is fully established. And the fact that it said the world stopped shaking, wasn't shaky, it was more firm. Is this in a spiritual sense, in a physical sense? What does it mean? What does it mean?
It's connected, no?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I'm asking.
Well, I'm just saying, well, if you're in a good mood, you have more energy, things like that, your spirit affects
your
physical.
There is another physical thing.
It's not physical.
No, there is.
Well, wait a second. I'm trying to think what Danny's saying here.
There is a physical.
Wait a second.
What do you mean physical?
Does the let me share with you something, okay? The Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, the Rambam wrote a sefer called Mori Nevuchim, Guide for the Perplexed, where he went through explaining many of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And the Rambam says like this, V'hayoyis hamila b'shmini, why is Bris Milah on day 8? Hu b'pnei shakol bali chayim k'sheyulad, any living thing when it's born, hu chavish ma'id b'tachlis lechusay, it's very weak. I'm not sure what tachlis lechusay means, but it's very tender, it's very weak. U'kiilu adayim b'betin, it's still like in the womb. Atzev shviyamim until the end of 7 days. After 7 days, now it can be, he can be counted as someone that sees the air of the world. The Rambam sounds like something physical. The Rambam sounds like something physical. The Rambam is saying, until day 7, the anything for its in its first week of life is very weak, is very tender. And after a week, that and until then, it's almost like it's in a state. It's not fully developed yet. It's a preemie of sorts. It's not fully developed yet. After a week, it's fully developed. That's the Rambam says. Can't tell you medically, scientifically how to explain this. Okay, one second. That I can't tell you. The Rambam doesn't explain this in a physical sense, but he clearly is talking in a physical sense. Okay, now getting back to the Arachayim, perhaps there is a concept that within the generation of the neshama, right? That this extra strength, this extra invigoration of the neshama, again, it starts spiritual, but it has an effect on us physically, perhaps. We are physically dependent on our neshama, and therefore, when our neshama is invigorated, perhaps that has a physical effect. Perhaps it does. Perhaps. Maybe the Arachayim doesn't mean that. Maybe what I'm saying is not correct, and maybe what the Arachayim is saying is that it's all spiritual. It's all in a sense that whatever spiritual effect a bris milah has to have on the child, right, its neshama is not going to be developed yet until it gets to day 8. For whatever reason. Not for whatever reason, because it goes through Shabbos. When it goes through Shabbos, then the neshama is able to become fully developed because it's experienced the Shabbos. The effect that Shabbos has on every neshama, every Shabbos, will affect the child, the newborn child, in a way that makes difference for it forever. And at that point, the bris milah will be able to be performed and accomplish and do what it needs to do for the child. So it can maybe be all spiritual sense. Maybe not. Maybe there is a way. I mean, clearly he's talking about, like, on Shabbos, there's that neshama yaseira, there's that extra neshama. Is the fixation like you with the extra neshama, you're in a better mood, you get more strength. I don't know if that's going to help for an infant. I don't know if an infant's going to feel that. I don't know. Again, to go ahead and say that the integration of the neshama puts it in a better mood, and therefore it makes it stronger. And I'm not sure either if you could go saying that moods is going to be enough to give it that strength that it's talking about. But again, as an example, that you're trying to say that you find, to make some kind of connection, perhaps. But again, the way the Arachayim is saying is, Arachayim is saying that we want the child to go through Shabbos. By going through Shabbos, it gets the strength. But he calls it a ben kayama. I mean, again, even the Arachayim is talking on using language of living, of life. But again, perhaps, so maybe he means in a physical sense, and maybe, again, he's using these terms, these physical terms, but he means it more in a spiritual sense. But the point is that we want the child to go through Shabbos, because we know that Shabbos always has an effect on invigorating the neshama, and that is what's going to give the child the kayach, the strength, to be able to have the bris milah done.
Neshama came directly after the birth, or what time, if boy is born, it's immediately neshama comes to him, or there is some day to develop?
The neshama?
Yeah.
I'm under the impression that it gets a neshama right away.
Because Shabbat can be first day, for example.
Right. So that would mean that. So that's the thing. The thing is that, we have day 8 to make sure that every child has a chance. But yeah, there will be a child that will get that strength of the neshama at an earlier point.
It means the neshama was born directly with
the way I understand it, again, as much as I can understand, is that every child is born directly with the neshama. Shabbos does something more to strengthen the neshama. It strengthens it.
But I remember you told neshama comes from above,
right,
and waiting for a child is born. That's when the born it directly comes to him.
Yeah, but that's not the Shabbos. I think that's the neshama. The neshama that every person has. Every person is born with a neshama. Every Shabbos, there's an idea, but there's a concept by Shabbos that Shabbos, our neshama grows, it gets stronger, it gets whatever. This is the concept that it's talking about, that we want the child to experience a Shabbos. Now, you're right. If the child was born on Shabbos, it's going to experience it right away. But being that not every child is born on Shabbos, right? You have you have children that were born on different days, right?
One in seven chances.
Right, one in seven chances. So they're basically, the Torah gave it a number for all children to be the same, but to be able to experience the same thing. Well, I mean, the effect of Shabbos on a neshama is, I mean, basically a spiritual effect. The question is, when we use this now to say that, okay, now with that, the baby is strong enough to have the bris, right? What does that mean? That's what the Medrash says. The baby is strong enough to have the bris. Why day 8? Because day 8 becomes strong. How does it become strong? Because it goes through Shabbos. What does Shabbos do? It strengthens its neshama. Okay, so now what does that do? So at the end of the day, is this a physical effect, a spiritual effect? Again, it's not clear to me. Maybe it is a physical effect. We could explain it as a spiritual effect. Maybe it's even a physical effect.
There's a thing called vitamin K.
Right.
And vitamin K in a baby reaches its peak on day 8.
Okay.
And
that would then, be a, that would be but that would, but that would be a separate explanation. That would have nothing to do with Shabbos. That has nothing to do with Shabbos.
The vitamin K is the blood clotting effect on the body.
Correct.
So day 8, it reaches its peak. It never reaches that peak again.
Okay.
Then it goes down.
Okay.
That's physical.
That's physical, but that wouldn't be connected to Shabbos.
No.
That would be a separate explanation. Yeah,
physical.
That's another explanation. I'm just wondering if, when we talk about this idea of going through Shabbos,
yes, well,
and the effect of Shabbos on the neshama, is that only going to be an effect in a spiritual way? Maybe it's even an effect on a physical way. I'm also wondering if when the Rambam talks about that everything born in its first week is tender, right?
Yeah.
Tender means that its blood doesn't coagulate. Maybe it means more than that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's yeah, you know, it could, you know, I'm saying, it could be that. It just seems, you know, that's one detail. I know the Rambam sounds a little bit more general.
He was a doctor.
Okay, so again,
doctor, I don't know that.
I'm just saying, does the Rambam mean this idea with the vitamin K? Maybe yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
This is something they found out in like 1950s.
I understand. I'm just saying as to whether, you know, did the Rambam know that? Is that what he meant? Did he mean something more? Don't know. The Rambam again talks in a pretty general way. You know, but perhaps. Okay.
I think this is one for me. This 8, you cannot explain why 8.
Why not?
No, because this is something we is not comprehend. It's physical. Why not 25?
No, so the Medrash... Wait. I thought my idea, the commentary say it.
No, commentary. But there are some mitzvahs we cannot comprehend 100%.
Fine, but now we could. This one we can.
No, but this is only explained. We came from one Shabbat, it's make effect. But why not 2 Shabbats?
Because you only need one.
Why?
Why not? That's enough.
Who said?
He said.
Okay. He said, for me, 7 days, it's not making baby more strength than 1 day. This is still tender.
Yes, it is tender. So now the question is again.
Rambam
makes it sound like it's a physical issue, not because of Shabbos. He just seems to say that for the first week, it's weak, and after that, it gains a certain better, it gains more strength. Okay, he had an explanation because of the blood coagulation, and the Medrash has an explanation. And again, is it physical? I don't know. It's probably easier to call it spiritual. Probably easier to call it spiritual.
I say something, please.
1 second.
The spiritual reason
it's not
why
one
it,
we can comprehend for 100%.
Happens.
This is our attempt
we were created
to explain why 8.
We yeah.
If he said 20, it will be 20.
Yeah.
It's both. It's physical and spiritual.
Okay.
Your physical being becomes spiritual.
Okay.
It becomes okay. spiritual. It's
okay.
both.
Okay. Now, there is also an interesting explanation when we talk about why day eight, coming from a whole different approach. And that is that many commentaries talk about what the number seven represents, what the number eight represents. We know that numbers have meaning. And many of the commentaries point out that the number seven relates to the natural world, right? There are 7 days of creation. 7 days of creation, seven is nature. We also find many mitzvahs that are number seven, right? Shabbos, Shemitah, a lot of sevens when it comes to mitzvahs. But seven is the number that represents Teva, nature. Eight, the next number, the one above seven, represents what we call Lamala Min HaTeva, beyond nature, higher than nature, and a higher spiritual plane. And that is found in a number of eights. I saw it brought down that the Maharal says that the Torah was given after 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. That means the Torah was given at the beginning of week eight. Mm-hmm. That's not that relates to this idea, because eight is already the realm of higher than nature, mm-hmm. right? Eight is already the realm of higher than nature. The longest chapter in Tehillim, the longest perek in Tehillim, is Kuf Yutes 119. Kuf Yutes is a very interesting chapter in Tehillim because all the psukim are divided into groups, and and all the groups of the psukim all start with a letter of the aleph beis. First, you have a group of psukim that begin with an aleph. Then you have a group of psukim that begin with a beis, etc. Mm-hmm. How many psukim do you have per letter? Eight. And the way that's explained, is this is coming from the Art Scroll Bris Mila book. The way that's explained is that Kuf Yutes actually, as much as we say it in many different circumstances, for instance, for an neshama, for someone who passes away, for someone who's even sick. At the same time, if you look, that parak talks about Torah. Parak Kuf Yutes 119 is dedicated to Torah. So, and each one of the letters of the Aleph Beis, or the grouping of the Psukim, are all in the number 8. Because again, we're talking about Torah. Torah relates to 8, because 8 is Lamai Lamin HaTeva, it's higher than nature. There is a chapter of Tehillim we say every Shabbos morning. Richard, can you pass me that sitter, please?
I'm behind the eight ball.
Can you do this sitter?
Whatever.
Okay. It's a number of pulls.
Okay, so the first Psukim de Zimmer Shabbos morning after Hoidu, we have a chapter of Tehillim. It's Tehillim Yutes 19. Laman Etzach Mazal David for the conductor, a song of David. Hashemai Masapin Kavod Kel Umasiyad Megina Rekia. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse of the sky tells of His handiwork. Right, this is the beginning of this chapter, is devoted to the wonders of creation, and then, after talking about the creation, what does David HaMelech talk about? Toiras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. The Torah of Hashem is perfect, restoring the soul. Okay? So first we talk about the wonder of the creation, and then we talk about Torah. Okay? So it's supposed to be, okay, if I had to tell him it would be easier, this Pasuk Toiras Hashem Tamima is Pasuk Ches. It's Pasuk Ches of this chapter. Okay, let's see. Four, 5, 6, 7. Yep, it's the eighth pasuk.
You're just lucky.
Okay, it's the eighth pasuk. There's no psukim letter here. It's just periods. Okay, so when David HaMelech is talking about the beauty of the world, that he does in the first seven psukim. That's the world. That's nature. When he gets to the eighth pasuk, he reverts to Torah, because eight is the realm of above nature. Okay, a couple of other interesting examples of the letter eight comes from the commentary of Rabbeinu Bechaya, the beginning of Parsha Shmini. Being at Parsha Shmini, where it says Vayhi Bayim Hashmini, right? And it was on the eighth day. The eighth day was when the Mishkan was put up permanently, and Aaron and his children were inaugurated to do the service in the Beis Hamikdash. They had 7 days of training, and the day that were officially installed was day eight. So Rabbeinu Bechaya points out, interestingly, that there is a reason why this happened on day eight. And he says, okay, he has two reasons. The second reason is, Vushamatsinu Sharoi Vinyone Hamishkan Vahamikdash, many aspects of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash, Soivavim Al Cheshbon Shmoina, they work with the number eight. Sharei Bigdei Kohen Gadol Hayu Shmoina. How many garments did the Kohen Gadol wear? Eight. And he counts them. Tzitz, the front plate, the Choshen, the breastplate, Ephod, the apron, Me'il, the coat, Uksainis Tashmes, the checkered shirt, Mitznefes, the turban, Avnet, the belt, Mechnesei Bad, and the pants. That's eight. Okay. B'shemen HaMishcha Arba'a, Mar V'kinmein V'kada V'kida, U'b'k'tayres Arba'a. When it came to making the anointing oil, you had four spices involved. Okay? By the ktosh, by the incense, you also had four spices involved. That means that when it came to the uses of the spices in the Beis HaMikdash, what was the total number? Eight. Okay? Gam habadim hayu shmoina. There were eight badim, eight poles in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan. Shnei badi ha'arin, the ark had two poles. Shnaim the shulchan, the table had two. Shnaim the chazav, the golden altar had two. Ushnaim the zbeach ha'ila, and the altar that all the kabbalists were brought had two. That's eight. Eight badim, eight poles in the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. Kama karbanos shoyu makrivim lehukshu likarev kimacha shmeini yamim. And we know, you want to bring an animal for a carbon, what day you have to wait for to bring it as a carbon? Day eight. So therefore, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the number eight is a very important number in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, day eight was the day that Aaron was inaugurated into doing the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Why day eight? Why is the day number eight so common in the Mishkan? Because the Mishkan was a place that was Lamaila Minateva. It was higher than nature. The Beis HaMikdash had miracles going on every day, because the Beis HaMikdash was an area that was higher, it was holier than every place, and was meant to raise us up and make us holier, to raise us above nature. Therefore, the number eight was there. Then, there is also an interesting Gemara in Maseches Erchin, and I'm not going to be able to explain to exactly what this means. This is I would probably call it somewhat of a mystical a concept, but the Gemara in Erchin says the following. Okay. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Gemara brings a statement for Rabbi Yehuda. Kinar shal mikdash. One of the instruments used in the Beis HaMikdash was a kinar. What's a kinar? What?
Oh, a kinar harp, yeah.
What?
A harp.
A harp.
A small one.
A lyre.
A lyre. That means like one of those hand ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, telling the truth.
Just tell you what it is.
You held now, it in your hand.
Right. I don't think it was the big thing that, you know, like the standing on the ground and you would ever, was something that you held in your hand. Okay. Kinar shal mikdash, the kinar of the Beis HaMikdash, shal shivas nimen haya, seven strings. That's seven strings. Mm-hmm. Brings down a pasuk. Okay. V'shal yamaisa mashiach, the kinar in the days of Mashiach, I guess it means the kinar that will be used in the Beis HaMikdash in the times of Mashiach, shmoina, eight. Mm. It'll have eight strings. Ah. Brings the pasuk to show that. Then it says Olam Haba. The keener of Olam Haba, okay, is going to have ten. Mm. Now, so what kind of keener are we talking about? I mean, by Yemaisa Mashiach, the keener we could have been talking about would have been the keener that's using the Beis HaMikdash. The keener of Olam Haba, not sure what that means exactly. That probably means some kind of a concept, some kind of a spiritual concept, some kind of a spiritual mm-hmm. entity. But the point is that the keener, the strings of the keener of the Beis HaMashiach will be eight. Right? When we're in Olam Hazeh, when we're in this world, it's seven. Because seven is the number of Teva, of nature. But when we get to the times of Mashiach, which means we'll be going to a higher level than the regular kind of life that we have, which the Maharsha says is referring to the idea that when Mashiach comes, we won't have what's called Shibud Malchus, we'll have no one else will control us, which will allow us to be free to serve Hashem completely without any kind of disturbance or distraction. And therefore, that's when we will come to a higher level, our lives will come to a higher spiritual level, and therefore, the number of strings on the kinar will be eight, because eight is that number that is l'mayla menateva, higher than nature. Therefore, this is another way of approaching why is bris mila on day eight. Because if the number eight is always a number that represents higher than nature, then that's what bris mila is meant to do to every person. A person who has bris mila, the bris mila is meant to raise him to a higher moral level. The bris mila is in the place of greatest desire because it's meant to actually tell us and give us the power and the ability to rise above the natural world. What everybody else is at, the level that everybody else is at, that's their level. We are meant to be at a higher level. We're meant to be at a higher level than our nature. We're supposed to be beyond, we're supposed to be at a higher level than everybody else. And therefore, we have the bris mila. The bris mila is meant to bring us to a level of kedusha, of sanctity, higher than what is in, than what's in nature, than what's in the natural world, than what's in the world, the way a person is born. When a person is not bris mila, that person, again, does not have that same moral level as someone that has a bris mila. The bris mila is meant to give us that potential to rise to a higher moral level than what we would have if we wouldn't have a bris mila. And therefore, it's very appropriate that bris mila is on day eight. Because we find that day eight is the number that represents the realm of being higher than nature. Of rising, of being elevated to a higher plane.
I was going to say, when you're born, you could say that you're born in a natural state, and then when they excise mm-hmm. you to the certain state,